You're listening to Economics of Place, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Dan Gilmartin.
Welcome back to the Economics of Place podcast. I'm Dan Gilmartin, and I'm coming to you today from the Taubman School at the University of Michigan, where the Municipal League is putting on a public policy forum, a second in a series. This one's about leading the future of Michigan's cities and how technology changes, smart cities, and big data will shape the future of cities. This morning, we had the pleasure of hearing from Lily Schaup, who is the Senior Director for Transportation Policy and Partnerships with Lyft. And Lily spoke quite masterfully on a lot of the different technologies that her company is working with and what they're leading the way in terms of not just transportation, but using really the transportation platform to innovate around housing and economic development and culture and everything else. So Lily joins me now, and welcome to our podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell, if people aren't familiar, I think they're familiar with Lyft, a car sharing service, but what some of the things you outlined today is it goes way beyond just a simple app where somebody can take it from point A to point B. Tell us about, you know, sort of your company thought processes and how it's innovating.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for the question. Yeah, hopefully everybody listening to the podcast is familiar with the Lyft app. But we are a transportation platform that provides mobility choices for people. And a lot of the focus of my work is on expanding our multimodal options on the Lyft platform. So just the past year, we have begun changing up the way the platform operates to show both traditional ride sharing, shared rides where you can carpool with a friend, but also things like transit or shared bikes and scooters, so that people can begin to see all the options that are available for them to get from point A to point B, and have a affordable, reliable, and efficient trip to get to where they need to go.
Yeah, and I think it's important too, because you look at, I think something like a Lyft app is looked at as a simple convenience if you're trying to get from your house to a ball game or to work or something like that. But, you know, I thought it was interesting when you guys are really looking beyond that and trying to figure out how we attack some issues, those last mile issues, those housing issues. I know there's a lot of talk here amongst the people in the room. I was sitting with two city managers in smaller communities that were just lighting up about the capacity they might have to underwrite some programming like this to where Lyft could be used to move senior citizens around, people that can't typically get from one spot to another, or we have very inefficient programs serving them, big buses or things that sometimes work and sometimes don't. So while it's, sort of top of mind is a quick app, you guys are really thinking about some different things in terms of how you piece together society.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I may be that bold.
No, I love it. I think one of the things that draws my work to working in transportation is the ability for transportation to really shape communities and shape the way that people get to explore and interact with their city and with their fellow citizens. So the ability for Lyft to provide mobility choices that are affordable and able to be accessed by a number of different people, who either people who currently drive or can't or don't drive, is really exciting.
Yeah, and you talked about some work you're doing, working with businesses, trying to get their employees around, working with cities and regions, I think, and trying to figure out how to deal with congestion issues. That's really interesting stuff. I mean, those are all kind of beta tests to try to figure out how we do this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As we make this shift sort of away from private mobility and into shared mobility systems, that's really where I see the most potential. And working with employers or industrial sort of sites, working with universities, with cities, with transit agencies, those partnerships are really where we can find the most synergy between the Lyft platform and what we can do on the technology side, and then what employers or cities or providers can do on the public side.
Yeah. Have you learned anything in your early work that surprised you about how people like to move around or don't like to move around, or what they're willing to do or want to do?
Yeah.
Or is it sort of proving the way you thought it might?
Yeah, I think that when I joined the company, I was thought that there was so much that we could accomplish within the digital realm, within the Lyft platform. And increasingly in the work, I find that we need to have the digital complemented by physical changes in the streets. So there's things that we can do within the app to make drivers and riders aware of where to do a pickup or a drop-off. But we really need to work with our city and local partners to make sure those pickups happen in places that are safe and convenient for the street. Similarly, on the transit side, there's things that we can do to provide first, last mile connections to transit. But until recently, you know, we couldn't show people that the transit would be there when they arrived at the station. So really excited now that through having transit in the Lyft app, people can know that when they take the scooter or a shared bike to a train station, that the train will be there when they arrive, or they can time their trip to accommodate that. And that's really exciting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know one of your slides you showed today was what a future street may look like. And I think, you know, early on, we built streets for all different types of mobilization. And in the last half of the 20th century, we made them almost exclusively for cars. And now, as you see people getting around by scooter, by train, by bus, by shared rides, and every other way possible, we are probably on our way to reinventing, I guess, double inventing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those streets back to maybe the way they were supposedly intended, which was to get around in all sorts of different ways. Scooters, I don't think I mentioned, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, right? Is like if we can fast forward to where a lot of this technology is going, we've got to make sure from a city perspective that we're in line with what people are looking for and what we're able to offer in the public domain as well.
Yep, absolutely. And it's exciting to see, you know, cities, municipalities all over Michigan have tons of public rights of way that can be designed to focus on people rather than cars. Yeah. And now it's a challenge to even envision what that could look like. So part of the graphic I showed was thinking about putting urban parks or expanding our sidewalk space or more trees, more playgrounds. Those are all things we could do with our public rights of way.
You may not need that 8-lane road the way you needed it before.
Exactly, exactly.
Because, you know, again, what's the percentage of cars on the road that have a single driver?
Or 80%.
So 80% of cars on the road have one person in them, which
correct.
Is so inefficient, right? Mm-hmm. And then we all sit in traffic and you know,
right,
not good
and
for
even
your
just
health,
thinking
it's
about
not
something
good for
like
your work,
parking.
It's not good for the economy, it's not good for anybody.
Exactly.
Then you have to park for $30 or whatever it might be.
Or just the amount of space that parking, on-street parking takes up in the right-of-way,
yeah.
Or that off-street parking garages take up in our downtowns.
Yeah.
And that's area that could be reused or redeveloped for affordable housing or for offices or housing.
Yeah, three parking spaces for every man, woman, and child in the United States. That's what we have. It's almost a billion parking spaces.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing sometimes when we think about that.
Absolutely.
And if we fast forward to maybe not needing as many cars, not wanting as many cars, having different ways of looking at things, that does open up a whole bunch of land in this country, and a lot of it where sort of prime located in
exactly.
terms of downtowns or shopping areas or wherever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. So where can folks learn more about what you're doing at Lyft? If someone's interested in this and they're thinking, I want to find out what you're doing, where
yeah, absolutely.
Where can
so you
go?
Can go to the Lyft.com website, and there's a section on there for cities. And on that, we have a bunch of information on our partnerships around the country, as well as some of the information I presented on our economic impacts on cities around the country. So you can
very
look
good.
In at Michigan and Detroit specifically.
Yeah, I think folks would be well served to go read up on that, because the work that Lily and her colleagues are doing at Lyft is something we should all be paying attention to and partnering with where we can. So Lily Schaup, Senior Director of Transportation Policy and Partnerships with Lyft, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
All right.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.